the sound
Love
of
Talk
house.
Radio.
You are listening to The Sound of Power. I am your host, Belinda Farrington. Tonight, we have an excellent discussion lined up for you all tonight. I'm very interested in hearing what your questions will be. We have some very anointed guest speakers that will be on the call with us tonight. So we're looking forward to a great time in the Lord. As many of you, of course, know that this weekend, this Sunday, is a great time for Spirit-filled believers. It is a time where we are celebrating Pentecost, the day of the infilling of the Holy Ghost. And so we thought it only right to have a conversation about the Holy Spirit leading up to Pentecost Sunday. We may have those that call in tonight that may not be filled with the Spirit of God and have questions about it or just want to learn more about it. So tonight, hopefully, this conversation will assist you in learning more about the Holy Spirit. I want to just first give a little information about the Holy Spirit, as I am more than sure that these anointed speakers tonight are going to be able to share so much information with us tonight. I'm going to introduce who they are in a moment. I'm excited about tonight. My heart is filled with expectation of what I believe that we're going to receive. I pray that you have your pens, your pads, that you're taking notes, because I still believe, even as Paul preached, that we are to be like the Bereans, that after we heard the message, that we go and we search out the scriptures ourselves to see if the things that we heard, if they be true. And so we believe in sharing information based upon the scriptures, so it's okay to check the text. We want to invite you into this dialogue. Of course, there's going to always be information that is just relative to our daily lives. So we pray that you're going to be blessed by tonight. I want to read a few scriptures for you tonight that I want you to take down, that you'll be able to hopefully go back in your own time and read these scriptures on your own to add to your study. I'm going to read Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Again, is Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And it reads as such. But you shall, and I'm reading from the Amplified Version, but you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end, the very bounds of the earth. Again, Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power, ability, efficiency, and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end, the very bounds of the earth. Acts chapter 2. Just want to give some foundation to our teaching on tonight that is a very relevant topic, and that it is one that is definitely listed and mentioned in the scripture. Acts 2, 1 through 4, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all assembled together in one place, when suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast. And it filled the whole house in which they were sitting, and there appeared to them tongues resembling fire. Again, this is the Amplified Version. And it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. And there appeared unto them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each of them. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other different foreign languages, tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression, and each tongue in appropriate words. Acts 19. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And before I read it, the reason why this is one of my favorite scriptures, someone asked me today, which I thought was a very good question, and they asked me, do you have to have the Holy Ghost to be saved? Do you have to have the Holy Ghost to be saved? And my response is, I wouldn't necessarily preface it as you have to have it, but my response is, but you should have it. And I made And the reason why I say you should have it is based upon Acts 2 and 38 when he made a promise. It's as simple as me going to Macy's, one of my favorite stores for fragrances, buying Martin Muse from the person that's there. And with that Martin Muse, there comes a free sample of hand cream. When I buy the Martin Muse, the hand cream automatically comes with it. And which means I should get that hand cream because one of the requirements to receive it is for me to buy that perfume. If I do that, then I receive that gift. And so that's why I say you should have it, because if I confess of my sins, according to Acts 2 and 38, if I repent of my sins and if I baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of my sins, I shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so this is part of what I receive as being a believer. And I'm sure that the other speakers are going to probably speak more in detail. You're going to have an opportunity to ask questions. But Acts 19, 1 through 6, the last scripture that I want to read, and then I'm going to turn it over to our guest speakers on tonight. Acts 19, verse 1 says, "And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus, and finding some disciples, he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?' So they said to him, 'We have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit.' And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?' So they said, 'Into John's baptism.' Then Paul said, 'John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who would come, and after him, that is, on Christ Jesus.' When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Now the men were about 12 in all." I have read for you Acts 19, 1 through 6. The most important things about this is these were already disciples. They had already been baptized before, but they had not heard about the Holy Spirit. They didn't realize that free gift of hand cream that was at Macy's with the Martin Muse was available. But when they found out that there was something free that they could get that was included in the plan, they opened their hearts and they received the free gift. And so, and again, these were already believers. So, again, were they saved? They were already disciples according to the scripture. He came across certain disciples. And so we let the text speak for itself. But once they found about the free gift, they opened up their hearts and they received what was already included in their salvation plan. I am going to now introduce who our speakers, our guests are tonight. We have three powerful women of God that are going to be sharing in this discussion tonight. We have Evangelist Tiffany Ferguson. We have Evangelist Janelle McCall, and we have Evangelist Sandra Stephen Small. They're going. Each one will be coming in their own way tonight, sharing in the conversation tonight. Evangelist Tiffany is going to open up the discussion from the perspective that the Lord is giving her, sharing with you tonight regarding the Holy Ghost. And then we're going to come back. We're going to ask questions. So again, while she's speaking, we want you to go ahead and write down your questions, take good notes, things that you may want to ask her during the time or when we open up the call to invite you in to ask questions. Be prepared. Have your questions ready. We're expecting an awesome time. As I close out tonight, we're going to also do a closing prayer so that those who want to be refilled tonight that are on the line, they can be refilled. Those who are not filled and want to be filled, we want them to be filled. And so we're going to do a time of prayer at the close of our call. So please stay tuned. We're excited about what we believe God is going to do and say. And so now I am turning you over into the very capable hands of Evangelist Tiffany Ferguson.
Amen. All right. Well, as you were speaking, the one thing that stood out to me, Elder Farrington, was when the person asked why, when a person would ask why we need the Holy Spirit. And I would like to just place emphasis on the fact that in order for us to, when we have the Holy Spirit, it's not, like you said, it was a free gift, but it is also a conscious decision that we make in receiving, you know, the Holy Spirit to lead us within our heart. And one thing is for sure is that once we do know that we do need him in order to direct us and to lead us and guide us to all truth, as the Word of God explicitly says. And you did make reference to Acts 1:8, and you talked about how we receive power. You know, one thing is for sure is that we do understand that when the Holy Spirit does come upon us, then we receive the kind of power that we wouldn't otherwise have in our own strength. And that is the ability or the capability to accomplish what we can't accomplish in our own strength. And also ability and power, of course, go hand in hand. And, you know, God enables us, or the Holy Spirit enables us with that ability to go that extra mile. Like just like, you know, the scripture talks about how it is in our weakness that his strength is made perfect. So it's like he actually endows us to do things beyond the natural or beyond our natural capabilities. And he gives us different supernatural strength. He gives us, you know, different gifts that are for our common good. And as we obey the leading of the Holy Spirit, I believe the Spirit of God is strengthened on the inside of us, and we become, I would say, more mature in the things of God as we follow the leading or the prompting of the Holy Spirit in all things. And really, that's all I have to say. He is the third person of the Trinity, and it's very important that we are mindful of how we treat him as that person of the third person of the Trinity.
Amen.
And that's all I have.
Amen. 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 And so we're going to hold. Did you have a question that you wanted to pose the audience? You want to wait until we come back around again, or otherwise I'm going to go ahead and turn it over into the hands of Evangelist Janelle McCall. Did you have a question for the audience tonight, Tiffany, or can I move forward?
You can move forward.
Amen. So, Evangelist Janelle McCall. Evangelist Janelle McCall is one of our regional intercessors in the Daytona Beach, Florida area. We're excited about what God is doing with her there. And we are going to now turn the call over into her hand as she share on the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. Grace and peace, everyone. As Evangelist Tiffany stated, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Godhead. And notice that she said he. A lot of people call the Holy Spirit it, and people have to get out of the habit of calling him an it. He is a person. God is a triune being. Remember in the book of Genesis, God said, "Let us make man after our own image." There is a spirit, a soul, and a body. The way that I see it is God is the soul, that is the will, the mind, and the emotions. We know that we do the will of the Father. Even Jesus said that, "I do the will of the Father that sent me." Then for the body, that is Jesus. Jesus wrapped himself in flesh and came down and dwelt among us. And then just like we have a spirit, there is the Holy Spirit. So just like God is a triune being, we were made in his image, so we too are triune beings. What God dropped in my spirit with regards to the triunity, if you will, the Trinity, if you will, also is, as we're pressing forward in prayer, how you go through the tabernacle, and there are three parts, the outer court, the inner court, and the most holy place. That is how it is with the body, the soul, and the spirit. Your body is the outer court. So that's where it touches this physical world through your five senses. Through your five senses, and then you go to your soul, your will, your emotions, where whatever is in a man will come out. Then you have your spirit man. That's when you get into the most holy of holies. So now that we recognize that the Holy Spirit, one, is a he, and that he is the third person of the Godhead, what is his function? Well, he has several functions. One is he is our comforter. The Bible says that he will send us a comforter and he will teach us all things. So the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us and he is our inward witness. He is here to teach us which way to go. Oftentimes you'll hear people say, well, something told me to do this, or something just didn't feel right, or something or something. It's not something. It is a he. It is the Holy Spirit telling you go left, go right. It is the Holy Spirit giving you that unction to either do something or not to do something. He is also the Parakletos. Just like when you go to court and you have a paralegal, you have the Parakletos. So just like it is in the natural, so is it in the spirit. When you go before a judge in the natural, you can plead one of three ways, either guilty, not guilty, or no contest. But in the spirit, you also plead three ways. And notice that it is first. Everything comes from the spirit world, and we are simply mimicking what goes on in the spirit world. So with those three, guilty, not guilty, and no contest in the natural world, it came from the spirit world, where it's guilty, not guilty, and the blood. So when people are pleading the blood, they're pretty much pleading no contest. They're neither admitting nor denying, and it is the Holy Spirit who will lead us into what to say. You wouldn't dare enter a courtroom without legal counsel, and that is part of the definition of the Parakletos. He pleads for another cause. He intercedes on behalf of another. He is the counsel for the defense. So just like you wouldn't dare enter a courtroom before a judge without having legal representation, you dare not enter the courtroom of heaven without having legal representation. Also for the Holy Spirit, he is also known as the seven spirits of God. And a lot of people also overlook this, but it tells us in Revelations 1 and 4, and it reads, John to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Once again in Revelation 3 and 1, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that have the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Revelation 4 and 5. And out of the throne proceedeth lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. And just one more, Revelation 5 and 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which, once again, are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And most importantly, and a lot of people overlook this, but a long time ago, I was taught to pray this daily in Isaiah 11 and 2. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. Those seven spirits are the Holy Spirit. When you get the Holy Spirit, you automatically get those seven spirits. The Holy Spirit and those seven spirits are one. Those are his attributes. When the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you, they automatically come with him. Also, If we go over to Zechariah 4, 1 through 6, it reads, "And the angel that talked with me came again and waked me as a man that is wakened out of his sleep. And he said unto me, What do you see? And I said, I have seen and beheld a candlestick all of gold with its bowl upon the top of it and its seven lamps thereon. There are seven pipes to each of the lamps which are upon the top thereof and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bowl, and the other upon the left side thereof. And I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, What are these, my lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, Do you not know what these are? And I said, No, my lord. Then he answered and spake unto me, This is the word of Jehovah unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says Jehovah of hosts. And I brought that out to show that as it is above, so it is beneath. There was a shadow, a copy that was supposed to take place in this earth realm. In the Old Testament, in the tabernacle of God, the Lord told Moses to make things that were a copy and a shadow of heavenly things. So one of these things Moses was instructed to make was a lampstand with seven lamps. This lampstand represented the Holy Spirit. He is also known as the water of life. In Revelation 21 and 6, it reads, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Also in John 7, 37 through 39, it reads, Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, from within him shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believed on him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. And the last one is in John 4 and 14, and I won't read it, but it was basically when the woman of Samaria had gone to draw water, and Jesus said unto her, Give me drink. And she was saying, Well, you're asking me to give you something to drink, but I don't have anything. And Jesus said, Oh, but if you knew who I was, then you would have been asking of me to give you a drink, because I will give you a drink wherein you shall never thirst again. So the Holy Spirit comes in a myriad of ways. He is the third person of the Godhead, but once you get him, he is residing within you, and he will flow out of your belly as rivers of living water. So that is why it is speaking here in several verses of scripture that he is known as the water of life. And for those who are filled with the Holy Spirit as the evidence of speaking in tongues, oftentimes as we're going forth, we will feel an unction in our belly. That is the rivers of water flowing freely. So, at this time, from that brief description, are there any questions with regard to the Holy Spirit?
And I will open up the lines now. So, if you are on the line, give me a couple minutes. Sounds like someone just got some other. We're going to open up the lines, and if you're on, give me a few moments. It takes a moment to open up the lines. If you have a question at this time, I'm opening all the lines. Please go ahead. And if you have any background noise going on, if you're just listening and you don't intend to answer a question, as I'm opening up the lines, I'm going to ask you if you are in a position where there is some background noise, that you would go ahead and mute your phone. But for those of you who are on, if you have questions at this time,
Elder, while we are waiting on someone to come, I also forgot to mention that the Holy Spirit is the pneuma. He is the very breath of God.
Amen. And it's so much information that she released in such a short amount of time. I know it was a lot to digest. We thank God for such a powerful teaching, and we're coming back around again to both her evangelists, Tiffany Evangelist Sandra and Evangelist Janelle, again as we speak on spiritual gifts. But if you have questions right now about any of the information either Evangelist Tiffany or Evangelist Janelle share, we want you to go ahead and ask your questions or state your comments at this time. Everyone's line is open, so don't be afraid. So no questions at this time regarding the Holy Spirit. This one line is not open. I'm sorry. This one person. But now everyone is completely open. I'm sorry. Okay. So we're going to pause for a moment to see with Evangelist Sandra to see if there's anything that you want to share at this time, or we're going to come back around as we are sharing in the gifts of the Spirit. The spiritual gifts.
Amen. Good evening, everyone. And I'm sorry I missed some of the calls. So I'm not sure what I missed. But what I just caught of what the lady, the previous speaker was talking about was very good. And we just have to make sure that we know the gift and operate in the gift of the Holy Spirit. That God has given us all gifts, and we have access to those gifts. And it is very important to know what they are and how important it is for us to use those gifts. The gift of wisdom, knowledge, the gift of faith, healing, miracles, the gift of prophecy, discerning. We have to truly activate those gifts so we can be able to be who God is calling us to be and to be effective in the kingdom of God.
Amen, amen. Thank the Lord for that. I want to just share a little bit as it relates to the seven gifts of the Spirit that Evangelist Janelle talked about a few moments ago. I want to just give you a little bit of a definition on those gifts of the Holy Spirit. And again, in a few moments, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts, those different areas that you operate in, but even the information that Evangelist Janelle just shared about understanding that there are gifts, there are seven gifts of the Holy Spirit, that when you receive the Holy Spirit, with that receiving of the Holy Spirit comes these seven gifts, one of them being the spirit of wisdom. Wisdom being defined as administration, prudence. It is also defined as just simply being wise. And it's also, in the simplest definition of wisdom, is just good sense, having plain old good common sense. The Holy Spirit comes to give us just a good sense of understanding, causing us to be skillful in certain areas. So with the Holy Spirit comes also the spirit of wisdom. It also brings with it the spirit of understanding, the spirit of understanding, which is simply discernment. It's discernment, being able to discern. It's considered perfectly understanding, being able to understand. And so you have the gift of wisdom, which is just basically good old common sense, having a good sense of things, being able to know how to judge matters, having that kind of wisdom, having understanding, being able to discern. And then you have also the spirit of counsel. The spirit of counsel is to be able to counsel or to advise, where those situations where you know that you may be in sometimes that you're trying to, and I'm sure many of you can attest to being in sometimes some tough situations and not really knowing what to do, and then going to God in prayer, and then, as she said, sometimes we'll say something told me, or trying to define what it is that we hear, but it is that spirit of counsel that comes with the Holy Spirit that gives you the counsel. A lot of people use it, they label it as strategy. you know, going to God to receive strategy on how to deal with the matter, how to handle an issue. But in all actuality, it is counsel of the Holy Spirit giving you wisdom on how to deal with situations, right judgment. And so you'll be able to rightly judge, being able to rightly determine which direction should I go in, what should I do with this situation. And even if sometimes people come with you with situations, because of the Holy Spirit that is in you, a lot of times we have those family members that have not received the Holy Spirit, and they know us. They know, well, my cousin here, she prays, and I know if I go and I speak to her about what I'm dealing with, she'll be able to give me some good counsel, some good advice, and that's coming through the Holy Spirit, because with that comes the spirit of counsel. Also, there is, let me define the other one, and just giving you brief definitions, I like to give you things that you can apply to your daily life. Also, then there's also the spirit of might, which is strength, bravery, and many of us can attest to the bravery. It's a lot of times some of us can probably say we are nervous when it comes to speaking, but we would say, but the Holy Ghost helped me to get up and to testify. The Holy Spirit helped me to be able to teach, to be able to share with you, because it also brings with it the spirit of might, that bravery, that courage to be able to do some things you would not normally be able to do. And so with the Holy Spirit comes that spirit of might. Also with it comes the spirit of knowledge, which is perception, being able to perceive some things when you just, you don't know how you know what you know. I just know it. You know, sometimes you started out your day, I just knew it. I knew this was going to happen. I knew when I took this job, this was going to happen. That is that Holy Spirit giving you knowledge about things you would not normally have knowledge regarding. But it also makes you cunning. It gives you cunning ability, makes you sharp. In other words, some of the simplest way we can say it, it puts us up on our game, because we have knowledge about things that maybe some people don't have knowledge of. It helps us to prepare. It's the kind of knowledge that, you know, there's a big meeting tomorrow and everybody else thinks it's the normal type of meeting, but the Holy Ghost will tell you, you get yourself ready, you prepare, you dress up like this, you prepare this outline, you do this, because he's giving you a certain knowledge and a certain understanding that other people don't have. And lo and behold, when you step in that meeting, all of a sudden you see the CEO walk in and you are prepared, because the Holy Spirit is giving you an insight that not everybody has. Everybody was not aware of what was going to happen, and the Holy Ghost can do that for you. He will cause you to get prepared, and you're trying to figure out, why am I doing all of this? It don't take all that, but the Holy Ghost wanted to rest. And so that's why it's so important when we tap into all of what the Holy Spirit provides, all of what comes with what the Lord gives us. And a lot of times the reason why we don't tap into everything that's available to us as believers is we simply don't know to expect it. We don't know to expect it. I talked to you about Acts 19 earlier about the disciples that Paul met who were believers, but they didn't have the Holy Spirit, and they didn't expect it because they had not heard about it. But the moment he told them about the Holy Spirit, they had another expectation, and they were able to receive it and benefited from it. And so it is so important, even those of you tonight that may already have the Holy Spirit, and you've not been sharing with people how it has impacted your life, you need to share with people how the Holy Spirit has impacted your life. And, you know, Acts 1 and 8 says that it will cause you to be a witness. You have a personal account of your experience. We need to be able to share our personal account of our own experience, because we are causing people to hope and to expect for something that they've never hoped and expected for. And as I was sharing with someone earlier, to me, I think the greatest thing to put aside all of the debate of is whether or not if we need the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is real, is if we really share with people what our experience has been. If you really, because how could you have something so great How could you have this free gift if I know they're giving away something at Macy's and you're my friend and I love you and I won't tell you about it? I won't even tell you about the free gift. I took advantage of it, but I don't give you the opportunity to take advantage of it. That's how we have to think about the Holy Spirit. We can dispel all of the other issues that come along with do you need it, should you have it, by our encounter with God. I have the Holy Spirit, and I know what having it has done for me. And if I share with you my encounter, because I know it's necessary, I know what it did for me. I know the power that it gave me as a believer. I know what I was like without it, and I know what I'm like with it. If I share that and let you know how great of an asset it is to your life, who wouldn't want it? Who would not want those seven things that come with it, the seven gifts that come with the Holy Spirit, the wisdom, the counsel, the fortitude, the knowledge, the might, all of that? Who wouldn't want that? The fear of the Lord, to be amazed, to be able to sense when he's doing something and be in awe at him. Because you realize that what happened is something that God did. So as we're getting ready to close out the portion on the Holy Spirit, we're going to ask one more time if there are questions about the Holy Spirit, because we're going to change our conversation to for me to share with you that and also to share with you so we can get outside of whether or not do we need it. The fact is I have benefited from it. And I want anybody else that I know and love to have the benefit of what I've experienced. The Holy Ghost has blessed my life. He has empowered me. He has changed me. He has brought about great victories in my life. There are experiences that I have now that are a testimony because I received the Holy Ghost and I walk in that power. The kind of power that subdues the enemy, the kind of power that gives me victory over temptation. When the tempter comes, I have the power to be able to stand, the power to resist him. These are the things that we've got to be able to share with people so that it will open up their heart, questions or comments about the Holy Spirit. And I'm hearing a lot of feedback, so please, if you're doing any movement or you're doing something else, go ahead and put your phone on mute.
Elder Farrington.
Yes.
Can you kind of elaborate a little more on how important it is to basically walk in obedience in so that we are able to mature in, the operating and functioning the gifts of the Spirit, and even being sensitive to hearing, you know, or being sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit?
Sure. Amen. Well, we know that I think the best or the most simplest illustration to use with that in obeying God is, the more you obey the voice of the Spirit, the more you are obeying the Holy Spirit, the more you start to recognize his voice, the more in tune you come. I'm going to have to try to go ahead and mute the phone set because there's so much feedback that is distracting me. And it sounds like we won't. It's too much feedback. Again, so it is important to obey the Spirit of God when he speaks to you, because the more you obey him, the more you start to recognize his voice, and the clearer his voice becomes to you, and in that becomes your spiritual growth and development. You grow as an individual, because the whole purpose of the Holy Ghost is to prepare us or to make us ready for Christ. He's coming to be our teacher. The Bible says that he will lead and guide you into all truth. So he's coming as our teacher, and he's coming to develop us. Teachers help us to develop in life. You know, when we're going to school, there is development that takes place when you have a good teacher. When you have someone that's able to communicate with you and explain things to you, you grow in your understanding and you grow as an individual. And so if we take that simple understanding of the receiving of the Holy Spirit, when we apply what the Holy Spirit reveals to us, we grow as an individual. We grow in our understanding. We grow in life. And we become doers of the word. We become those who are equipped. We become those living epistles that other people can read about by our lifestyles. We become living examples. We come to shut out the voice of the enemy that says that it's impossible to live this life. We become exactly what 1 and 8 says that we are to be. We are to be witnesses. We are to be those, you know, that a witness, of course, is a martyr, one who's given their life. And so we become living martyrs to some degree because we've given that life to Christ. We've yielded this natural life to him for the benefit of the kingdom. For a kingdom purpose, we've yielded our lives. We become those martyrs. And the more we grow in him, the more we obey his voice, the more we listen. So we've got to adhere to his voice, to have the Holy Spirit and to walk contrary to him. We grieve the Spirit. It is possible to grieve the Holy Spirit. It is possible to have the Spirit of God in you and with you and to grieve him. And we grieve him by not obeying what he says. And there is nothing more disheartening. If you take up it as simple as a parent that sees their child about to touch a hot stove, and they're there and they're saying, don't touch that, you're going to burn yourself. The grief you get when your child is burned, you can't, there's no words to define it. When you see your child in pain, when you were giving them instructions, but they decided to defy it, there's a grief that comes to you. It's a dissatisfaction because you did not want them to get hurt. And that's what we do. That's how the Holy Spirit is for us. He does not want us to get hurt even by the choices or the decisions that we would make simply because of our flesh. So what he does is he stands as that umpire saying, no, not that way. No, don't do that. He's giving us instructions as our teacher so that we can grow and so that we can live a life that is abundant in him. That life that is full of what he desires for us, his desire, the Bible says, it is his desire to give us the good of the land. That is what he wants for us. He wants us to have good and to do good. And the way to get us there is speaking to us. He speaks to us. He directs us. He gives us instructions on what to do and what not to do. And then, of course, there are going to be times we don't listen. That's why repentance is so good. I didn't listen. Lord, forgive me. Thank you for grace. And so he gives us that as well so that we can get back into alignment and hear his voice. But the way that you're going to grow in him is the first instruction he gives you, you move on that. And then he gives you more instructions, you move on that. And then his voice becomes more stronger and more clearer to you. And you find yourself walking in a victorious life. Are there any other questions? We're going to now move our conversation into the gifts of the Spirit. We want to talk about the gifts that we have as believers. And before I turn it over, our first speaker on the gifts of the Spirit is going to be Evangelist Janelle. And what I want to talk about before, I'm sure she's going to probably talk about the different types of the gifts of the Spirit. But I wanted to share with you a thought that the Lord wanted me to share with you about the gifts of the Spirit. And he gave me a very simple analogy. Because when you operate in the gifts of the Spirit, you operate as one who is authorized to move in that particular gifting, whatever your gifting is, whatever that place or whatever that gift the Lord has given to you. You're authorized by the Holy Spirit to operate in that. And what the Lord spoke to me about, what is happening a lot of times right now with us, especially in the body of Christ, is illegal use of power. We operate illegally. And he gave me this simple analogy. He gave me the analogy of the city of Atlanta police and the city of East Point. They are both authorized as law enforcement officers. They have the authority to incarcerate someone, to chain them, which is to bind them, arrest them, take them to jail. they both have that authority. It's been given to them from the city that they work in. But when the city of Atlanta police decides that he wants to take a ride over to East Point, he's authorized as a police officer, but now the jurisdiction has changed. He's in somebody else's jurisdiction who has a greater authority than he has. So when he goes into that jurisdiction and he operates as if he's in the city of Atlanta, he operates illegally because there's someone else's jurisdiction. He's got to give room to the person that's in authority in East Point to operate there. And what happens a lot with us, especially in the body of Christ, and we can use prophetic gifting. We'll go to somebody else's church where they have jurisdiction. We're not even members there. And we want to go in and operate illegally because we're not under that authority. We don't like to surrender our authority there. That's not our church. That's not our house. We have to, and when you're in somebody else's jurisdiction, then you got to come under that authority. You don't operate illegally. Even though you're a prophet, you're in somebody else's house who also has a prophetic voice for their house, who is also in authority by the Lord. And so even in our giftings, when we're going to operate in giftings and we're going to operate in callings and anointings, as we speak about these, not only do we want to know what they are, we want to operate in excellence, and we want to submit and surrender that gift to the Lord in obedience. And we want to operate by the authority of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will not have us operating out of order. And that is why we're talking about the two together, because the Holy Spirit will not have us operating in confusion. He's not going to cause us to go and do things that are going to cause issues and distractions, not in the house of God. And so we submit our gift first to the Lord. And then when we go in, we understand that we're in somebody else's jurisdiction. So we have to allow the Holy Ghost to speak to us, to give us direction on what is appropriate and what is inappropriate. But the Holy Spirit will always keep you operating in order, because there's no need for disorder, not when it's God. There's no need, because anything God empowers you to do or say, he backs up. God is qualified to back up anything that he gives us to do or to say. So now, as we move into the discussion about the gifts of the Spirit, I'm going to turn this first 10 minutes over to Evangelist Janelle, and she's going to share with us on the gifts of the Spirit as the Lord has given it to her. Evangelist Janelle.
Amen. First, I will take you all to Scripture. I am reading out of 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 12, and it reads, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So far, the scriptures. Now, there are nine gifts of the Spirit. We already established that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. And when we just heard that he gives out gifts, those nine gifts can be broken into three categories. The first category is revelation gifts, and those are inclusive of wisdom, knowledge, and discerning of spirits. The second category will be vocal gifts. Those are inclusive of prophecy, tongues, and interpretation of tongues. And the third category is power gifts, and that is inclusive of faith, healing, and miracles. Now, I'll give you definitions of for wisdom. In 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, Paul writes, "To one there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom." The biblical use of the word wisdom puts the emphasis on the thought process that takes the scriptures and makes an intelligent application to a life situation. The result is insight, which allows one to exercise sound judgment. To have the gift of wisdom, then, is to be able to apply biblical spiritual knowledge to living a godly life. It is also being able to make scriptural truths relevant and practical in everyday living and decision-making. The message of wisdom is being able to know the mind of Christ and his word as it pertains to specific situations. A person with this gift loves to read, meditate, and commune with God, drawing wisdom that applies the scripture to everyday living. It is also similar to a mechanic being able to hear a car run and know what is wrong and how to fix it. There are wise automobile mechanics. This gift allows a person to hear, with quotations around hear, life situations and apply truth to the situation. Now I will go on to knowledge. The biblical meaning is to know something experientially, intuitively, and in the present. It is subjective spiritual knowledge coming from God, revealed to you through the Holy Spirit, where you are impressed cognitively by God. In this case, God impresses upon you a relevant insight or message that applies to the situation at hand. Basically, when God gives me something, I explain it as if I have a knowing. God doesn't always speak to me audibly. It's just something in my spirit where all of a sudden I know something that I didn't know before. So when you have the gift of knowledge, it's just you all of a sudden know something. God supernaturally imparts knowledge to you. Now notice there is a difference between wisdom and knowledge. Knowledge is when he supernaturally gives you something, he'll tell you something, but wisdom is knowing how to actually apply it. So please know that there is a difference. I'm sure that we've all heard that you have people out here who have book knowledge, but they have no street sense. So you can kind of think of it like that. Knowledge is when you know something, but wisdom is when you know how to apply it. I'll go on to discernment. With the gift of discernment, a lot of people seem to think that this has to be all deep and spooky and you're automatically thinking about dealing with devils and all of that. No, it's simply being able to tell what spirit a person is of, being able to differentiate between God's spirit, the human spirit, and Satan's spirit. So it doesn't automatically have to be something negative. It's just simply being able to discern, to differentiate between which spirit a person is operating. Then we go to prophecy. Basically, it's just speaking forth the mind of God. I was taught that God is always speaking. We just have to know how to tap into his mind. What I visualize, because you all know I'm very visual, we have to have spiritual antennas. The frequency of heaven is constantly vibrating. Think of it, if you will, as a radio station. If you have your radio on 99.5 and that's the rap station, but you're trying to hear Marvin Sapp, and you're wondering, well, why aren't they exhorting? Why aren't they praising the Lord? I don't understand. Well, you're on 99.5, and you need to be on 100.3, where the word of the Lord is going forth. So you simply have to turn your dial so that you can tune in to that particular frequency. So is it when you're trying to tap into the mind of Christ so that you can get a word from him. You have to tap into his frequency identity. You have to make certain that you are in alignment so that you can receive a download. If you are not in alignment, if your antenna is not there in tune with him, then you will not hear what it is he is saying. He is always speaking. So when you finally do turn over to 100.3, where the gospel is being proclaimed, you will notice that someone has already been talking. Someone has already been singing. The radio program has already been going on. It didn't just all of a sudden start when you turned to that station. It was already going on. You finally tuned in at that particular time. So is it in the spirit world. God is always speaking. You just finally have to tap into that particular vibrational frequency so that you can receive a download from him. The next one is faith. Now, we're not just talking about faith, because God has dealt to each man a measure of faith. And we know that if you have faith the grain of a mustard seed, then yada, yada, yada. This is the gift of faith. This is where someone is so certain that God is going to do exactly what he said he will do. This is what I read. Faith means persuasion, credence, or moral conviction. It is an assurance and belief. The author of Hebrews wrote, "Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see." The gift of faith involves a prompting from God to trust him for the supernatural, to continue even when there are difficult circumstances. This is what God showed me, and it really, really helped to increase my faith. Now I simply speak what I believe. I simply speak what I see, because I know that God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. I know that his word has to accomplish what he said it will accomplish. It cannot return unto him void. As soon as he shoots it out, imagine a gun, and the person has put the trigger. That particular bullet is faith going forward. That bullet has to meet its target. It doesn't matter what distractions come along. It doesn't matter if maybe steel is put up or some type of bulletproof glass. Only thing it can do is slow the bullet down. But that bullet that proceeds out of the mouth of God has to accomplish its target, because it cannot return unto him void. That bullet has a certain magnetic charge, and its target has a certain magnetic charge. One is positive, one is negative. It has to reach that point. It is afraid to go back to him and say, "Father, I did not accomplish your will." It will not go back home without saying, "God, I did exactly what you told me to do." So oftentimes I have to picture something in order for me to fully, fully believe it, and in order for me to fully, fully stand on it. And that is how I activate my faith. Once I know it's in the word of God, once I know it's in the word of God and I am certain that God wouldn't have said it if he didn't mean it, and I am certain that God wouldn't have brought it to me if he didn't intend to get it through me, then I stand on that word knowing that it has to come to pass. Hallelujah. The next one is healing. In the biblical language, healing means to effect a cure through God's supernatural power. This gift is similar to faith. When a person with this gift hears of certain situations that need healing, whether physical, emotional, or spiritual, God seems to lead them to step out and affirm God through believing him for healing. God gives them assurance in his ability and desire to work in the situation. A person with this gift feels free to ask God for his intervention without usurping his sovereignty. There is a deep understanding that they do not have a personal power to heal anyone, but that they have been given a great conviction to pray for healing and to believe in God's power. Along with giving this conviction to pray, in most cases, God chooses to heal. The next one is miracles. According to Strong's Dictionary, a miracle is a force or power. specifically miraculous power. This is similar to healing in that both are the result of the supernatural. However, this is not having the gift of doing miracles, for only God has that power. Rather, a person with this gift has a deep sensitivity to God's will in a situation and a deep belief in God's ability to fulfill his will. They know where a man's ability ends. God's supernatural ability takes over. They have a supernatural burden to trust God in situations and ask him to display his power for his glory. With this burden, in most cases, God will perform. Amen. The only thing I left out were two of the vocal gifts, and those were tongues and interpretation of tongues. I've been taught that with tongues, basically, well, it's two different types of tongues. One, we use it to edify ourselves, and the other, we use it for the edification of the body of Christ. So when you speak in tongues to edify yourself, you're stirring up yourself in your most holy gift. As you speak in tongues, your antenna is tuning into heaven, and thereby you're able to hear what God is saying so that you can either move in the way that he'll have you to move, or you can release something. The other one is interpretation of tongues. This is sometimes when you'll hear someone stand up and they're speaking in tongues in a church service or in a public place, and then there will be interpreters there. And or that person can also have the gift of interpretation. So either before a person prophesies, they'll speak in tongues for a while, and then they'll go ahead and tell you what thus saith the Lord. Or if they're simply standing up and they're speaking in tongues, then if someone else is there who has the gift of interpretation, they pretty much will tell you what that person has said. Amen. I'm done, Elder.
Praise the Lord. Amen. A lot of wonderful, wonderful information. I know that you all are receiving a lot of information. I definitely got to pause here because I know that we have questions about our spiritual gifts and just questions that you want to ask about the gifts of the Spirit. So I'm going to pause just for a second before I turn it over to Evangelist Tiffany. Are there any questions? And again, we're going to open it up to everyone to share in a few moments. Okay. Evangelist Tiffany, it's in your hands.
Elder, I actually don't have anything to say because Evangelist Janelle covered everything, so I don't really have anything to add.
Okay, understood. Well, thank the Lord. So we've gone over the gifts of the Spirit. Are there any questions for us tonight regarding the gifts of the Spirit? I want to talk to you about, I got to find the scripture here, as it relates to operating in your gifting. I want to talk a little bit about operating in giftings of the Spirit. And so, there's a scripture I want to read for you. Let me find it. And while I'm doing that, Evangelist Stephanie, is there any, I'm sorry, Evangelist Stevens, are there any questions that you want to ask right now? Any comment you
I
want
to
share?
Okay. Evangelist Janelle did an excellent job going over the gifts, and I just wanted to find out, did anyone have any question about any of the gifts that she discussed? And we also have the gift of administration and the gift of help. And the gift of administration is being able to keep things organized and according to God's principles. And the gift of help is being able to help others to do things in order to advance the kingdom of God. And so we, you know, she went over all the gifts that we have, but I just wanted to make sure that we are truly comfortable with the gifts and being able to activate those gifts if anyone have any questions about the gifts that she went over.
Amen. And that's a very good question. Is there anyone that has any questions about any of those gifts? And then I think I also like to add that there are a couple of people that would be willing to share what your spiritual gift is and how did you determine that that was your spiritual gift. Is there anyone here who wants to share that tonight?
Okay, well, I'll share mine, and maybe somebody else will share, but the gift of faith, and also I would say the gift of healing. And the reason why I say the gift of faith is because that's mean that you have to trust God and encourage others to trust God, and you have to speak what the word of God says. And when I was diagnosed with cancer, it was a situation where it was truly my faith in the word of God to know that by his stripes I was already healed regardless of what the doctor's report said. And in addition of the gift of faith, it was the gift of healing because I believe God to restore my health back to where it was prior to being diagnosed with cancer. And even after I was diagnosed and went through 6 months of chemotherapy, the cancer was recurrent and inoperable, and I still had to have faith in God to believe that I was already healed. And going through additional chemo, having to have a stem cell transplant, not having enough time to get a donor to get blood, they had to use my blood, my stem cells that was already diagnosed with cancer, to give them back to me. That's when my faith was truly tested, and I had to have faith in God to know I was already healed. And a year later, my mother was diagnosed with cancer, and I had to have faith in trusting God in his word to know that by faith she was already healed. And so It's truly important to be able to operate and understand the gifts of the Spirit and to have faith when it does not look like it's when you see the doctor's report, but you have to stand on the word of God.
Amen. Amen. And so it sounds like that sometimes you can determine really what your gifts are, even seeing your gifts being strengthened sometimes in the midst of them being tested.
Right.
To realize the level of faith that you have when that faith is being tested, and you realize that you're able to believe God for something supernatural.
Right.
That if some others, you know, when we, I guess the sometimes the best way to explain it is sometimes some people give in to diagnosis. They give in to situations because their faith level is not at a level to where they can believe God when it's stage four and the doctors are saying time is almost over. But the gift of faith goes beyond the word of man. And it's only something that God can give, because the scripture says, I've given to every man a measure of faith, which means I poured out what Sandra would have as opposed to what Belinda would have. And each and every person that I've given, whomever I've given this measure of faith to, that faith is aligned with your purpose. And that's why there's never, ever really any reason for competition anyway. That this,
right.
When we understand things of that nature, even in the body of Christ, there is no need for competition because God has already measured out your faith. You can't do more than what God has given you anyway. So anything else would cause us to strive against each other. We'll be operating in strife. We'll be striving with someone. We won't be operating in spirit because our faith level for our gifting has already been measured out. And he's measured it out according to what he's purposed for us to do. So our purpose and our faith in him are all connected. And when we trust him for that, then we can operate more and more in support of each other. I can support your gift because there are going to be things that you can do that I just never will be able to do simply because the grace that's been given to you. And that's the scripture that I was trying to read because I like to give the the scripture that the Lord gives to me, which is in Romans 12 and 3, where he says, wait a minute, let me get back to Romans. Having a hard time operating these devices. For I say through the grace given unto me, the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The measure, that word metron. He's given to every man a metron, an instrument for measuring, a vessel for receiving and determining the quantity of things. So he's already determined the quantity of faith that I am going to walk in. He's already given that to me. And because God has already measured out the level of faith that is being released unto me, he's already taken into account, because I think so many times when we start to operate in these giftings, somehow we forget or we separate it from God. And God has already predetermined who we are and what we've been called to do. He's already pre-portioned out your gifting, your anointing, your measure of faith, the level in which you should operate, the things that he's called you to do. God has already measured that out. And in that measuring, God has fully equipped you. He's fully equipped us with everything that we need. That's why the scripture says, I have given you all things that pertain unto life and godliness. The disservice sometimes, though, that we do is once we have these giftings and these anointings, we don't do anything with them. We do not utilize that gift of faith and healing that the Lord is giving us simply because we equate that with a platform. It does not have to be a platform. I appreciate Evangelist Sandra's testimony, because her faith operated for her mother. It didn't need a big platform to operate. That faith being stirred in her operated for her mother's life as well as her own life. Those gifts that we have, sometimes they are purpose to operate the most in our own household, purpose to operate on our job, purpose to operate with our friends. If we don't pay attention to where God is using us and where we feel that anointing really being activated, because you can sense it. I think it was Evangelist Janelle earlier that talked about that unction. You can sense that unction when the Lord is moving you. You can sense how the Lord uses you in the company of your friends. You can sense how the Lord uses you on your job. You can sense how the Lord uses you with your family. It kind of gives you an unction and an idea where your anointing is resting. Where is my anointing the most potent? Where does God want to use me? And then when we are okay with that audience, when we're okay in that place, then we can see lives impacted. I think the greatest work that we can do is the impacting of a life, one life. I know we all love the platforms, and they are great. It's great. Bishop T.D. Jakes is awesome. He's dynamic. He has a measure of faith for that arena. He is used in an awesome way for that platform. That's his measure of faith. Awesome. But if my measure of faith is for me to take one life, pour all of the revelation that God has given to me into that individual, see them grow in relationship with Christ, see them grow into a worshiper of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, see them study their word, see them come out of sin, see them grow in their understanding, see their life being transformed, that's enough. It is when we are okay and who we have been called to be that we can really be effective in the kingdom. We have got to affect great change, and the great change has nothing to do with a massive number. It only has to do with my assignment. If my assignment is only for one person, I'm spending all of my time trying to prepare for the masses, and I never take the time to be a blessing to the one that I've been assigned to, I've still not completed my assignment. I've been trying to run everywhere because I have assumed that this gift is for the masses when it's for the one. That's why, as we talked about earlier, getting, you know, obeying the voice of the Lord, staying in tune with his voice, we start to hear, and he will share with us what he wants us to do with these giftings and these anointings and this impartation that he's given unto us, because all of it has come from him. He has blessed us with spiritual giftings for the purpose of the kingdom. When we are mindful of why I have this gift, why has God blessed me this way? Why has God favored me? Because God has favored you by gifting you. God has favored you with your anointing. God has given you this anointing and this ability to walk in whatever this calling is, whatever this place is, for the advancement of his kingdom. Everything is about kingdom advancement. Everything goes back to God. And that is why we must seek out the Lord as it relates to our giftings and our anointings. I know we've got to have some questions at this time or some comments, especially from the members of PEN. I definitely want to hear from you on your thoughts and your comments while you're on the line. Please feel free to share. There are a number of people on this line, and you are so quiet, and we bless the Lord for you just being on the line, listening in on the conversation. But we want to hear from you.
Hello, this is Shauna.
Hi, Shauna.
Hi, I'm just, thank you for saying that, because so many times we think that if we're not impacting several lives, then we're not being fruitful to God. But the reality is that there can only be one T.D. Jakes. There can only be, you know, one pastor over a church, but there's so many believers that can impact so many other lives.
Mm-hmm.
We forget that, and the reality is, mm-hmm. is that if we could just be faithful to the assignment that God has given to us instead of, you know, comparing ourselves to other individuals, God has given each and every one of us our own special gift and our own assignment, and when we can be satisfied and content with what God gave to us, then the body of Christ is in a better place.
Amen. Amen. And we're healthy. It's healthy. You know, even if you look at a home in the natural, when you have that, the father brings one thing and the mother brings another. The healthy child, the healthy individual that's coming out of their home because they have the benefit of the father and they have the benefit of the mother. They have both. They have what they need. And not to say because a person, I'm just using that as an example, not to say because people are raised in single family homes that they're not being edified. I'm just saying that as the body of Christ, when we hold back what we have because we don't think that we're not somebody else, that what we have is not necessary or it will not edify anyone, and we hold back and we don't give of our giftings and we don't operate in those giftings based upon who God called us to be, then we do a disservice to the body, because the body needs each and every individual. It needs all of us. And it needs us to be authentic. The authenticity of your experience with God is so important. Your authentic relationship with him, regardless of where that is, can help someone to get to another place. We just have to be who we are, and we have to be willing to share who we are for the benefit of the kingdom. Are there any other questions? Because the hour is getting late. Are there any other questions or thoughts or comments? Does that mean we did
Hello,
so well?
So,
yes.
Hello?
Yes.
Good evening. Just as a supporting scripture, what was just stated by Shauna and yourself, Romans 12 and 4, the verse says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one to another. Then it begins to speak of the different diversities of gifts according to the grace that is given to us. So that I just wanted to always use the scripture to support what's being stated at the time. That's the only thing I have to say.
Okay. All right. That was good. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Well, praise the Lord. That voice sounds familiar.
Yes. I was listening to the kind of thought and the teaching here, and one thing I've alluded to, and I always tell people that though we are one body, we all, God has instilled in us different gifts. And as you were teaching, some of us gain a deeper strength or a deeper power in our gifts, but we should not allow that to define our walk or our greatness, because the word tells us greater is he that is in me, within me, that is he that is in the world, you know? And so a lot of people try to measure themselves by somebody else's greatness, but we have to realize that each one of us, because we are in the body of Christ and we align ourselves with the body of Christ, we inherit greatness all around. And so we should not allow somebody's visual or physical appearance of greatness to determine how great we are in the body of Christ. And so, you know, having said that, that's what causes a lot of us to miss out on our true calling or our true greatness as we walk in God daily.
Amen. And there was something else you said that really stuck out, and I know we probably want to talk about that, but I'll spend another minute or two on that, because you also mentioned about not allowing that gift, though, to also define who we are, because we are more than the gift that we operate in. We are more than just the person who operates in the gift of healing. I am Belinda, and my life as Belinda and the integrity that I walk in, respect that I give to individuals, the way that I treat people is far more important than the gift that the Lord has blessed me with. And I definitely wanted to bring that out, because that's so important too, because if we get so caught up as well in giftings and in callings, but we forget about the person, our personhood, who we are as an individual, how we entreat each other, how we deal with strangers, how we deal with family, how we deal with friends, how we deal with people, we still done the body a disservice. Because we have, you know, for me, and I can be honest, if you can teach and prophesy and, you know, and you can be accurate in your ability to prophesy, but if you can't treat people right, if there is no love, there is also no even pursuit of a lifestyle, I'm not necessarily going to want to hear from that individual, because the word that you were giving to me should also be active in your life. I should also see that fruit of that word being produced in you. I should see you striving to become what you teach. I should be able to see you, as the scripture says, a living epistle to be read of all men. I should be able to expect that, you know, because Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Whatever you see him doing, whatever you see me doing, you see him doing. You become one. And so the operation of your gift is not just what you do, it's how you live. It's how you treat other people. And so I'm so glad you brought that up, because I would hate to have ended this call to not highlight that point, that as much as we operate in our spiritual gifts and we pursue them, and we ought to, because they are important, spiritual giftings are important and they are necessary because they are, the Bible talks about the fivefold ministry gifts, that the purpose of them is for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ until we all come into maturity, until we mature in him. So these gifts and these callings, they are important. We need the gifts and callings of God to be in operation, but we also need a lifestyle that speaks of our relationship in him. And Paul said it the best. He said, that's why I've got to beat my body. I've got to take this flesh, bring it under subjection, so that after I have preached to others, after I finish laying hands and prophesying, that I myself not be disqualified from the race. And if we spend enough time pursuing that, everything else will almost disappear. If we spend enough time making sure that the life I'm about to preach, the next time I have to preach, the next time I have to prophesy, that my life is so in line with what I'm about to do or say.
Oh, Jesus.
If we could do that, we could truly see the world changed. Because we won't confuse people. We won't be bringing confusion to them so much so, but wait a minute, you just, so I don't know whether to receive your prophecy or consider you a lying prophet, because you're lying by your life. Your life is blatant before me. And it's saying that what you say can't be true because you can't even live it. So that should be our stride. As we learn more about our giftings, and I want to encourage those of you, if you already know what your spiritual gifts are, I want to encourage you. That's why the Bible says that you might know the height and the depth of your calling. So you want to know who you are, what you've been called to be. So you want to search out the scriptures. Search him out. Search out understanding about him and about you. How to operate, how to flow, and the gifts and the callings that are on your life. Seek him. That's why we talked about the Holy Spirit earlier. So him being able to advise you. We talked about the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit itself. And one of those gifts was the gift of counsel. Allow him to advise you, to be your counsel on you as you operate in your giftings. Let him advise you on your life. Let him advise you on your behavior. Let him speak to you while you're doing, so that we don't become an affront to Christ. Are there any other questions or thoughts? And thank you so much for that comment, and thank you so much for bringing that back up to me. Thank you for that. Needed to bring that point out. Are there any other questions or thoughts? I know we got a number of people on the line, a number of people still hanging on, even though it's getting late in the hour. A lot of you are still on, and I'm sure you're on, and you want to ask a question or you want to share a thought. We're open to that right now. We're going to be closing in 5 minutes. So if you're here, I want to hear from you. If you're willing to share.
Yes, this is Tony.
Hey, Tony.
Hello.
Yeah.
Hi. Really, it happened to me a while ago, but being truly transparent, you know, as you know, many people know, I'm a nurse. I love being a nurse. But I went through a thing of, I wanted to be seen differently, you know, like I was glad I was appreciated as that, but I wanted people to see me more spiritually different. And I think a lack of it was not even appreciating what the gift God had given me. And I remember sincerely praying, and God revealed things that, and through other people, I mean, that just walked up and says, you know, you have such patience. You have, you're such a good listener. and things like that. And I was like, and like I said, I prayed and everything, and God says, I made you who you are. Your gift of being a nurse is more than just your textbook, but it's what I put in you. And it isn't for you, and you seem to think it's you, but it's for others, and it's things that others will need, to hold a hand while someone's dying, to go to hospitals when nobody else, you know, would want to see a person in a certain condition, to give comfort, you know, at times when, you know, someone may need it. And it just opened it up more to me that it's not about me, you know. It's about what God put in me. And like I said, I'm proud being a nurse, but what God put in me to do. And it wasn't by happenstance or accident. This is the gift God gave me that explores more than just giving a pill. But it goes beyond that, and that's all.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, you said something important. It's so many times, and that is so true, we can be operating in something for so long and by force of habit, because sometimes your gifts are just that natural. Sometimes the things that we are called to do are just that natural. And we can be operating in it so much in that way that we don't really see the real value of it, because it doesn't take a lot of work for us to do it, because it has become so much of who we are. But the value, again, like you said, the value in the gift is not for that individual. Generally, your gift is not for you. Your gift is for someone else. The gift that you have is meant to be shared with others. And that's where we miss it. We miss that because it's so easy. And that's why a lot of times, you know, if I could use the gift of prayer for me, it's not something I have to work on because it's a gift. It's easy. It's something, I mean, it's a pure gift. It's a easy gift. It's something that I do all the time. And so to me, when I'm praying, it don't seem like anything is really happening because it's a gift. But sometimes people are blessed by it and they say that. But because I've always had it and it's always there, it's normal. And so sometimes we will not appreciate the normal part of our gifts, being able, you know, to be able, you know, Tony, that gift of nursing and being able, God allowing you to be obtaining that knowledge in the health profession and to be able to go into the hospital with people. I can speak for myself that when I went into the hospital, my heart was made glad to see you there because you were knowledgeable. You knew what to ask the people. You knew if something was wrong. I didn't know that. You had insight. You knew what questions to ask. You knew if people were doing something they should not have been doing. You knew if they failed, if they should have come back and checked, and they didn't come back and check. Just your insight blessed my life, just having your presence and just being able to discern when something is off or wrong and being able to watch and be able to easily detect if somebody's not doing something right. See, it was normal for you, but for me, that gift meant everything. At that moment when I'm laying in the hospital and I'm under the control of every nurse and doctor in that building, depending on what kind of data they had, whether they feel like coming to check on me or not, and having somebody who was able to determine if what they were doing were right, that's a powerful gift. And I'm sure anybody on this line, if you were in the hospital and you were left under the care of other individuals, you would want somebody who's anointed, who is blessed by God, who can be able to stand with you and share with you and even be able to speak for you while you're laying there under the influence of whatever medication you're under, to be able to be your voice. So, you know, and I said all that to say to you, whatever your gift of the evangelist Sandra said earlier, that's also the gift of helps. Not everybody has the heart to help, to just simply do what's needed, whatever that, to just fill in the gap, whatever that gap is. And some people have a special gift. They just show up, and all of a sudden you feel like you've been working for 10 hours trying to get this done and this done, and they got the gifts of help, and they're moving all over the place, and they don't even have to ask you. They can see what you need help in, and they're moving and they're helping. Let me help you organize this. Let me help you put the dishes away. You need to get this. You need to clean this up. Where you want the tablecloth to go? Where you want? And they're moving so quick, because they have that gift of help. As soon as they come in, they see everything you need help with, and they're starting to move in something. And they can do in 30 minutes what it was going to take you 2 hours to do. And so these gifts that we may not feel like are necessary, that's why the Bible says he's put more honor on those things that don't seem to be so important, so that there can be no isms or schisms or divisions. Because we need each and every gift. I pray that tonight's call has been a blessing to those of you that are on the line. We're going to go ahead and close in prayer and ask the Lord to bless those who need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. I'm going to ask Sharon to start it off. Take about 2 minutes to start it off, and then I'm going to come behind you, Sharon, and close it off. Sharon, are you still on the line? Sharon Quinn.
Yes, I'm on the line.
Amen. So I'm going to ask you to start off for 2 minutes, and then I'll come back and close the prayer out. So we're going to be praying, inviting the Holy Spirit into on the line. If there are those who need to be refilled, refreshed, or those who need to receive the Holy Ghost, we're going to believe God that that can take place now. Sharon, go ahead.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, O God, for your goodness, your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness. And God, we thank you for the Holy Ghost. We thank you for the gift that you've given unto us, O God. And so, God, we lift up everyone that's listening on this line. We lift up those, O God, that desire to have the Holy Ghost, those that have never been filled, and then, God, those that would love to be refilled. God, we want a refreshing anointing, oh God. So we say, refill us again, oh God. Revive us again, oh God. We say, God, let your spirit fall fresh on us, oh God. We open up our heart unto you, and God, we need your anointing. We need the Spirit to lead us and guide us in all truth. So we say, Holy Spirit, have your way this evening in our life. God, we say, move on behalf of our loved ones, on behalf of us, oh God. We stand in, God, asking you to fall fresh on us. Let your anointing, oh God, wash us. Cause it, oh God, to lead us and guide us in all truth. God, we say, let the Spirit of the Holy Ghost do what it do. We welcome your Spirit, oh God. We say yes to your Spirit, oh God. We say, have your way, Holy Spirit. Do what only you can do for us, oh God. We receive the gift that you've given unto us, that you've promised to us, and to us, our children and our children's children, oh God. And so, God, we speak over our family members. We speak, oh God, over our generations that are here and generations to come, oh God, that they shall know you in the pardon of their sins, that they shall receive, oh God, your gift of the Holy Spirit, that they shall be open, oh God, to your truth, that they shall obey your word, oh God. We thank you, oh God, even for revealing unto us the truth, the living truth, oh God. And we say, have your way, oh God. Let the truth prevail in our life. Let it, God, take root in our heart and in our mind, oh God. And we pray and ask that you would forgive us for anything that we may have done, oh God, if we misuse your anointing, oh God, if we have taken it for granted, if we, God, didn't
cherish it, oh God, and God, take it in our heart as we ought to, oh God. But if we, God, used it and abused it, we ask for your forgiveness, and we ask, oh God, that you would allow us another opportunity and chance to get it right. But God, we want to you to receive us, oh God, and God, as you receive us, we want to receive your Spirit, your Holy Spirit. We want it to dwell with us, oh God. We need it to live inside of us, oh God. So God, we say, have your way this evening, and let your kingdom come, oh God, and let your will be done. In Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. God, we bless you and we honor you, Lord. We thank you for this time of coming together, Father, and we just invite the presence of your Spirit even now, God. We thank you, Lord God, hallelujah, for your word declares that if we open up our mouths wide, that you would fill it, Father. We ask that you would fill us with your anointing, fill us with your Spirit, God. Fill every empty space. Our hearts cry out unto you tonight, oh God. Lord God, we thank you on tonight for being our Father, for being our deliverer, for being our sustainer. We bless you for your presence and your power. We pray that that power tonight, God, just be released upon every vessel, anyone that's on this call tonight, every empty vessel, God, fill tonight in the name of Jesus. Pour out, oh God, search us tonight, oh God, and know our hearts, oh God. Try us and know our thoughts. See if there be any evil or wicked way in us, oh God, and cleanse us, oh God, and lead us into the way of everlasting. Father, we thank you tonight for the outpour of your Spirit. Father, we pray for every soul that's listening. We pray tonight, oh God, we thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for the plan of salvation, for your redemptive plan, God, that was made for each and every one of us. For your word declares, whosoever will, let him come. And Father, we're here tonight, God, coming to drink freely from the well of salvation. We come to drink freely tonight. Oh God, we bless you tonight for your presence. We bless you tonight for your anointing. We bless you tonight for your Spirit. Oh God, we thank you for the endowment of your power. Endow us tonight with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Lord, have mercy on us. We cry out mercy tonight. Let your mercy meet us where we are, God. There are some of us tonight, God, that just need you to be mercy seated in our situations. God, forgive us of our sins, oh God. And Father, we thank you now. And so, Father, we ask you, God, even as we depart this call tonight, Father, go with us off this call. Let your Spirit hover over us. Let your Spirit minister to us, oh God. Let us meditate on the words, oh God, that were spoken tonight. Father God, if there is anything, Lord God, that we need to apply, if there was a lesson, oh God, in the lesson for us tonight, God, don't let us shy away from the lesson, but let us apply it to our lives that we might be better, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give your name the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This concludes our call for tonight. Again, we thank you for joining us on the Sound of Power. God bless you.
Good night.